महर्षि वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
This morning from the fourth canto chapter 16
varam cha ma kanchana manavendra
vishvadeva
aham gunashila
yantrita
Namanavendra Vinishvateham Gunashila Yantrita Naham Makarva Sulabhas Tapovir Yogena Vayat Samachittavati
Let us hear another instruction of Lord Vishnu to Maharaj Prito. My dear King, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined toward you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices, severe austerities or mystic yoga. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances. A purport. Lord Vishnu was very pleased with Maharaj Prito's good character and behavior and offered him a benediction. The Lord openly says that performing great sacrifices or undergoing the austerities of mystic yoga practice cannot satisfy him. He is pleased only by elevated character and behavior. But these cannot develop unless one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Anyone who has developed unalloyed, unflinching devotional service unto the Lord develops his original good qualities as spirit soul. The spirit soul as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the Lord. When the spirit soul is contaminated by the material modes of nature, one is considered good or bad with reference to the material qualities. But when one is transcendental to all material qualities, all the good qualities come out. These qualities of a devotee, 26 in number, are listed as follows. So as we will now hear the list of the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava, I would request you to keep in mind the first part of the purport where Srila Prabhupada says these are qualities which the spirit soul automatically possesses. But these qualities can come out only if you do practice this one of the qualities. This is not in the purpose, but this is what I'm remembering. It's called Krishnaika Sharana, completely attached to Krishna. The qualities get lost when we leave Krishna, when we become covered by material qualities, and the qualities become reawakened if we again become attached to Krishna. It's a very simple understanding. So listen please with this understanding and don't think, oh, I will never develop these qualities. You will, because they are natural in your original position of being attached to Krishna. So here is the first quality. Kind to everyone. The second, does not quarrel with anyone. The third, fixed in the absolute truth. Fourth, equal to everyone. Faultless, charitable, mild, clean, simple, benevolent, peaceful. And now comes the 12th quality, completely attached to Krishna. Has no material hankering, meek, steady, self-controlled. I always smile about this one. Does not eat more than required. Sane, respectful, humble, grave, compassionate, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. The Lord is satisfied by the development of the transcendental qualities of the living entity and not by artificial performance of sacrifices and mystic yoga. In other words, unless one is fully qualified to become a pure devotee of the Lord, one cannot expect to be liberated from material entanglement. Namaṁ Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashyajaye Sadharine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare expresses his great
a little louder. Oops.
Yes. Lord Vishnu here expresses his great satisfaction with Maharaj Prito because he felt captivated by his elevated qualities and excellent behavior. says, one who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor. In other ways, like sacrifices, mystic yoga, austerities, and so on. This is the subject matter of the class this morning. We will talk about developing excellent qualities and behavior. For a spiritual society of devotees who want to have an impact on each other's lives and on others' lives, it's very important to develop the Vaishnava qualities. The qualities of the Vaishnavas are very high, and we may sometimes ask ourselves, when will I ever develop these qualities? However, we are told that for a devotee who actively practices surrender to Krishna, these qualities come out naturally. You can give an example of a jewel which is in its raw state. At that time, the light within the jewel is covered by earth and by other stones which may have become entangled by the jewel, on the jewel. But if you bring the jewel to someone who has this veil, jeweler, it's called, he will rub the jewel. I do not know the English word for this, but it's a common. Polish, thank you. He will polish the jewel. And then the inherent fire or light which has been distributed to the jewel by the sun will come out and will be visible and fascinate those who look on this jewel. So in the same way, the surrender to Krishna is the very important polish which can only be done if the covering of the soul is taken away. One work, the Brihat Samhita, I believe it was the Brihat Aranya Samhita. I am very sorry, I do not know exactly which verse says that once the false ego is removed from the spirit soul, at that time all the good qualities come out, and they, this work expresses that if you remove the false ego by the simple gesture of namaste. not this gesture, not this, it has to say to Lord Krishna, my dear Lord, not my false ego should rule, but your will. This is a simple prayer. Not my false ego should rule, but your will. This is a very powerful practice. You address the Lord like this. This verse describes it like this. So, this surrender to Krishna removes the covering over the spiritual soul, and at that time, the light of the spiritual soul, which are the qualities, the Vaishnava qualities, shine forth. I want to talk a little bit on these qualities now from the Bhagavad perspective. The Bhagavad perspective in the fourth canto encourages us to develop four ethical principles. These principles are extremely important if you want to live amongst yourself in a happy and nice way. For a spiritual community, for the brahmachari ashram, even for a marriage, these four spiritual qualities, ethical qualities, which are qualities which can be practiced, are extremely helpful. I have taken them from the fourth canto. They appear in one verse there, and they go like this. The first quality for a spiritual person to develop is samadrisha. Samadrisha means I should be able to see with an equal vision, not distinguish according to external differences. It's very, very important. Like if a devotee sees everyone with the same eye. I was very happy with this. 4 years ago, I came for the first time into the assembly of the Radha Gopinath community, and there was a very wild kirtan we had in the kirtan room, and everyone was dancing, and there was Krishna Chanda dancing with his servant, you know, in the middle of the center. There was no difference between the boss and the slave any longer. But samadrisha. If you want to be in a Vaishnava community, you need to practice this. Even if there's someone who gets on your nerves, which happens due to material differences, isn't it? We feel like a dog who's rubbed the opposite way. He's supposed to be rubbed like this way, but he's rubbed that way. And, human hair is to be rubbed this way, but then you go this way, then you go this way. You feel like rubbed in the opposite way, we say. So someone, due to the material qualities, someone may get on our nerves, as soon as we see him, the way he talks reminds me of my dentist. We see like that. So this is unfortunately there in any community, and I can imagine even the saintly brahmacharis are not exempted from this problem. We are human beings, let us not forget. But if you want to have a Vaishnava association, you need a spiritual association, you need to practice samadrisha. Okay, this person the biochemical reaction between us may be less than pleasant, but doesn't matter. He is, after all, a servant of Lord Krishna, and I will try to see him this way. This is very important. Second quality which you need to develop is shanta. Shanta means peacefulness. A devotee can be peaceful, says Prabhupada, because he knows everything is under Krishna's control. In the end, you know, yes, we have to do many things, we have to take care of many things, but at the end we have to understand we will be peaceful if we understand Krishna is under full control. The next quality which you need in order to live together, this is for community building, is Shuddha. Shuddha means purity. What means purity? Purity means to be free of your own exploitive motivations. And the fourth quality means sarva bhutanu ranjita. Translated into English, it says to please other living beings. This is necessary if you want to be in any community. It's also maybe a nice point for our counselors to, when they counsel people who are quarreling, then tell them, Prabhuji, here's something you need to practice, samadrisha, equal vision, Shanta, peacefulness, Shodha, watch your own motives, and Sarva Bhuta Nuranjita, do something to please others. It works in any relationship. It's good for preachers as well. Shikshastakam, you have a question for the Sanskrit? Or would you like me to repeat the qualities? Or? Yes, from where is this? In which reference is this? It's in the fourth canto, and because I just got up, to be very honest with you, we went late to bed. I will find it for you. It's very important. I know where to search in the fourth canto, and I can tell you. These are principles. What are these principles? For living together with human beings. Huh? They are given by Svayambhuva Manu, who is the intelligent Manu, or the forefather of human society. All this Samadrisha, to see with an equal eye, Shanta, peaceful, being free from motivations, and Sarvabhutanu Ranjita, to please others, can be reduced to the principle of Karuna. Karuna means something like mercifulness or compassionate. As devotees, we do not like to be selfish, but we take to the opposite quality. We are compassionate, merciful. We like to do something for the benefit of others. This is a very, very important. Mahaprabhu has told us that a human being should do welfare for others. He has quoted this verse, which comes from Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, as he walks through the forest of Vrindavan, sees the trees and stops before the trees and begins to glorify the trees as compassionate welfare workers for others because they give shade. If you are on Mayapur Parikrama, you know that all you want is a shady tree. Because the tree gives what is very much needed. I think in a town like Mumbai, there's so much shade from the houses that you do not think shade is something very valuable. But when you read in the scorching sun of Mayapur Parikrama, then you need a tree, the compassionate tree. I remember when I went on these long parikramas, there was so much information, so much stories, but because we were so many, I was only a brahmachari and not a sannyasi. I was always standing in this scorching sun. And at the end I said, well, Maharaj, it's very good what you say, but give us a tree, a compassionate tree. We need some shade, otherwise our life is extinguishing in only 1 or 2 minutes. Trees, compassionate trees, are praised by Lord Krishna as giving something very valuable, shade. So this compassion, a Vaishnava needs to also do. You need to become trees, not me's. You know, me and mine. Become a tree, not a me. What is it for me? Yes. We have one example in Dhruva Maharaj's life about what it means to develop these qualities, which is very interesting, and I want to bring it to your attention this morning. There's one detail in Dhruva Maharaj's life which is very telling. Dhruva Maharaj had seen Lord Krishna, and Krishna had given him what he wanted, the throne, And then a very interesting detail happened. One day he received news that his brother was killed. He was highly enraged. It was the brother Uttama. The reason why he was killed is very interesting. He had done Vaishnava aparad against Dhruva, and he was killed as a reaction. So Dhruva investigated the case, and he found out that when Uttama was in the forest for hunting, a yaksha had just pounced upon him and killed him. This was after he found out this was the cause for Uttama's death. So previously, Dhruva was very much against his brother, because his brother got the throne and not him. And he felt something in his heart against Uttama. But after he became a Vaishnava, he didn't have this feeling, and he felt very sad. And he said, "I will revenge the death of my brother." So, do you know where the yakshas live? North. From today's landscape, near the area of Puri. And not Puri. Tibet. Alaka Puri is the capital. These yakshas are mystical beings. If you go now to Tibet, you will see that it has been formed by the culture of these yakshas. Yakshas work with magic. There's so much tantrism in Tibet, you won't believe it. And magic and incantations and so on, which formed the original religion of Tibet, which is what? Burnpo. Not Buddhism. Buddhism was imported from India and then mixed with Burnpo and became what is known today as the Tibetan Buddhism, just as a cultural information on the side. So the yakshas are the original founding fathers of Tibet. Very magical people. Who? Hare Krishna. He was in Tibet, and I met such a magician there. It is not always a pleasant vision. They're very heavy people. And you all of a sudden, your seeker is like this, and he laughs. Hare Krishna. So these yakshas, they're very powerful magicians, and Dhruva went out to take his revenge. He went into Alaka Puri, and he was successful fighting with them and making a bloodshed in that town. And then the yakshas took to the magical feats, and then they really got Dhruva Maharaj. They sent snakes, flood catastrophes, and so on. They all came and surrounded him, and Dhruva's armies were just completely reduced, and he was they were getting the upper hand. At that time, Dhruva prayed, "What should be done?" The saints told him, "Well, remember, you have one Narayan Astra, which will successfully defeat all these magical attacks and illusions." And he did it. He chanted a mantra to the Lord, and released the astras, and all the magic was destroyed. And he again began slaughtering his enemies. And that time Svayambhuva Maru arrived and corrected him. He said, "Don't do this. The Lord is satisfied if his devotees greet others with four qualities: tolerance, compassion, friendship, and equality." If you listen to the sound of these qualities, they all again go around this Karuna principle: tolerance, compassion, friendship and equality. The Lord is extremely satisfied if you develop this. Dhruva Maharaj is stopped. He doesn't keep his revengeful mentality any longer, and later in his life he again he has a very interesting meeting. You know, death comes to Dhruva Maharaj, and what does he do? He steps on the head of death and goes into a Vaikuntha airplane, which brings him back home, back to Godhead. At that time, Dhruva Maharaj has learned he must be compassionate. So he must be a tree, not a me. And he looks around and asks Nanda and Sunanda, who are the two associates of Vishnu, Vishnu Buddha, "What's about my mother? I'm going back now, but what's about her? She, after all, is my guru, my Vatman Pradaksha guru. Does she go back as well?" Nanda and Sunanda say, "Don't worry, we have already taken care. Look at this Vaikuntha airplane." And see, and the Dhruva goes like, "Mother, I won't." Mother is on going back. At that time, Nanda and Sunanda tell him a confirmation of how important it is to develop this karuna, this compassion. He says, "Only those who are merciful can go back home, back to Godhead." This is, if you say, "I'm having so many, I'm not such a learned scholar, I can't remember so many qualities. Plus, realistically speaking, I'm an ordinary person." But there's one quality. If you can remember this quality, you will satisfy the Lord. First of all, to become His devotee. But then, be merciful to others. Do something for the upliftment of others. Be a tree, not a me. I'm making these slogans to capture your attention. Yes. Dear devotees, you can only satisfy the Lord if you learn to become compassionate and merciful. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a very interesting step-by-step meditation how we can develop this mercifulness. Now I will request all of you to be very attentive. I have two sleeping devotees in my class today. Haribol, this is the essence. If you, after I've told it, I will give you a sign that you can sleep again. But this is you need to capture. This is the essence. We are dealing, just to keep you on tune, that you can follow this nice, we are talking about one quality which will develop the other qualities as well, through which we can satisfy the Lord. And this quality is compassion. Compassion means doing something for others. And here's a meditation how you can develop this quality in your heart. Because by nature, we don't find this quality in our heart. By nature, we live in the me first generation. This is our upbringing. The first things which we say when we are born is mama. Mama means mine. Aham mameti. And papa. Papa means sin. How we begin our life on this earth. Not very compassionate. Mama, mine, and papa, sin. We can say this amongst Brahmachari, but Grihasthas, please, you can continue the tradition that you teach. I am Papa. I am Mama. But there's something need to think about that these words, they sound so innocent, but nothing is very pure in this world. Even these simple addresses. Anyways, the first thing is think about you. I love happiness and I avoid pain. This is my, isn't it? I love happiness and I avoid pain. Today, Muridhara, the dentist, investigated me, and I really thought about these two thoughts. I said to Muridhara, if there is nothing, don't make something out of nothing. I really don't want to come into the dentist with me. I love happiness and I avoid pain. It's even Mr. Sigmund Freud, the famous psychologist from Vienna, has found this very familiar. This is what we do.
Do you agree?
We all feel like this. I love happiness, I avoid pain. The second step in your meditation is others are like me. They also like happiness and they also want to avoid pain. Very logical step. They have similar inclinations. And the third step to develop compassion is because others are like me, have the same inclinations, therefore I will do something for the others. This is how you can slowly bring yourself up to the quality of compassion. It's interesting, isn't it? You see, in other words, in your meditation, samadrisha, you see others with an equal eye. They're similar to me. And what is really so much the difference between others and me? We are all, we eat prasadam and we sleep and we avoid pain and search for happiness. You know, if you think impartially, although you think you're the most important person, another thinks also like this. So why not do something for him and take care of him as well? Samadrisha. This is how you should act. Now, let us be honest, it's not so easy to be always compassionate. Srila, you are a counselor. You know that there are situations when you really have to use your philosophical understanding to say, okay, another time this person has disappointed me again, but another time I will now extend myself and help the person. We are not always so strong to take care of others. It takes a big amount of maturity and strength, and we are not always in possession of this maturity and strength. I know as a preacher sometimes, you know, when I'm asked, I'm sometimes going to these rock and roll festivals, and it is really to preach there. We distribute prasadam and do kirtan, and it's really, oh, you know, you have situations where people come to you and say, can you hold this? And they put a glass of beer in your hand, you know, in order to take the prasadam. And then you're standing there. You almost faint from the obnoxious smell, which is like a mixture of urine and sweat. And then you have to preach, you know, compassionate words. And you feel like going, you know, emptying the glass. Not always easy. Or often I'm attacked by drunkards because I can sing so loud and they want to talk and I'm singing so loud and it's an interest or a conflict there, and they attack you with weapons in their hand, and you have to still remain compassionate. You really have to go like, okay, I could do now on you a kung fu trick which you will not forget for the rest of your life. I know how to do it, but no, Tashinandan Swami, you are a devotee, you should be an example. I'm sorry I disturbed your sentiments, but can we solve it, or do you have to now beat me up? Is there another way for you to deal with this conflict, and you have to patiently try to save the situation and save your own neck in a humble, vital way? So this is very difficult to sometimes be compassionate when you are in these extreme situations where people just act in ways which are less than fair or less than pleasing. But, my dear devotees, if you can learn to think for the benefit of others, at that moment your spiritual life will turn. If you can only work on this quality and really become a compassionate welfare worker for others, my dear devotees, this is a secret to enter into higher levels of Krishna consciousness. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, be a tree, you know, you should be more tolerant than a tree, he has actually two qualities in mind. One is, the tree will always give, and the second is, he does not protest and take care of his own justification. You can develop these tree-like qualities. Very good, very good. You will immediately become recognized in the eyes of Krishna. This compassion. And Vasudev Datta's place, the place of compassion, we once went with the Mayapur Yatra. Who was? Well, I think by now you have gone many times on the Mayapur Yatra and have visited this place. Who is aware of Vasudev Datta's place? May you please rise your hand. That's a good number of devotees. Yes. It's a place where a devotee was who said, who was so compassionate, he said, my Lord, please bring everyone home back to God. And if you think they are too sinful, then put their sinful qualities, that means, their sinful reactions on my head. Imagine to ask for the sinful reactions of the whole. I mean, this thing no doctor can cure. You know, when you get all the sinful reactions at once, it is a deadly request, really. But for this, and he meant it, Lord Chaitanya very much praised him for this. And there I told you a very interesting story which I once heard, which I want to repeat because most of you were not there, and those of you who were there were maybe a little tired and could not follow all the details of the story. There was one sadhu who went to the Himalayan mountains to become self-realized, but after 8 years of meditation he felt, I'm still the same, it's useless. I will go back to my home village and become a householder. I'm not the sadhu, let us face it. As he was coming down and going home, he saw a man who had a silken thread and who rubbed it on an iron rod. What are you doing? The sadhu asked him. Well, I'm trying to... No, it's a very strong silk. I have time. Sadhu was flabbergasted and thinking of this foolish man who, for some material purpose, is willing to spend time until he has finished his task. I should also be a little bit more patient. He went back and meditated 4 more years. But he felt nothing was happening. He remained attached to the same things he was. So after this time, 12 years by now, he wanted to return and give up. So when he was down, he saw a little mouse. The little mouse was there and was taking her sharp teeth and working on a stone.
Sarah says, this is very interesting. What is she doing?
And by looking at the situation, he found out that stone had rolled before the hole of the mouse and was now blocking the entrance to the mouse hole. He said, this mouse is prepared to go through the stone with her little teeth. That I should be a little bit more patient for spiritual purposes, and went back onto the mountain to meditate. But finally he said, I won't make it. And he went home to his village. Now listen to what happened. As he was entering the village, desiring to become a normal person again, to give up, the sun was just setting, everyone was home, and he saw on the road a dog. This dog was badly wounded. It had pus all around the eyes. It had pus from an open wound in the back. And it was obviously dying. So the man saw the dying dog and developed a feeling he had never felt before. Compassion. Caring for others. So he went to the river with his bowl, got some water and placed it before the dog. And the dog went like, you know, what is the greatest need when a person is dying? Krishna consciousness and water. Very much need of water is there. But the fiery element is inside. So the man said, I get another bowl for you. And just went up and again gave it to the dog. And the dog went like, if you're too thirsty and I can help you, I will get another bowl. When he came back, there was no dog any longer. A very exalted Mahatma was standing there and said, now you have understood. I watched you in the Himalayas. Do you know why you didn't make any advancement? You were always thinking, me, 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 my advancement, my elevation, my benefit in my spiritual life. Therefore, because you were still ruled by false ego. You could not make any advancement. Now go back to the Himalayas and chant properly and it will happen. It is my blessing. So this is, I feel, very much relevant to us when we speak about developing qualities and we get confused. Where should I begin? Where should I end? What is important? What is coming automatically? These two things. Become attached to Krishna. This is important. And the second is the reduction of all ethical qualities. That is, become compassionate. Do something for others. You will feel happy. Others will feel happy. And there will be peace in the community. Hare Krishna. And if it's difficult for you to be compassionate, then just go through these steps. I love happiness. I want to avoid pain. Others are like me, samadrisha. And okay, well, if this is the case, I don't need to be only active for myself. Let me be active for others. Very, very nice. Thank you very much for listening. So, trying to listen attentively. I know some of us had a very late night. Do you have any questions at this stage?
Yes. At the mic, it's coming. Sorry.
Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you for very enlightening class. Just one doubt arose. You told a nice story about that sadhu who is coming back. In Bhagavad Gita there is a shloka, Param Swarthi Jivi. Exactly, I don't know. There is a Param Swarthi, and I have heard like the best selfishness is Vishnu, like serving Lord. It's a kind of this. And I had this doubt about that. Like we are trying to hear
cassettes,
we are trying to hear
lectures, yes,
and we are trying to chant nicely, and so many principles. So at that time, of course, the main aim in our mind is our own advancement. At that time, how is it possible that we can be chanting our own attentively, or and then we can at the same time caring for like how to manage?
How to manage? Hare Krishna, this is a very interesting question. Intellectuals have attacked the church in the West for one thing. They have said, you only talk about God. By this, you put people's attention up to God and they forget about what is happening amongst the people. There are intellectuals who have said the church is responsible for the bad situation in the world, even the ecological disasters, because they have taken the heads of people in this direction and not in this direction, where they see other people in the nature around them. Do you understand the criticism? What do you think about this criticism? It's an interesting criticism, isn't it? What do you think about this criticism when it is applied to you as Hare Krishna devotees? I will now voice a criticism to wake everyone up. Look at your movement! It's a failure! Yet everyone goes, God, 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 and even 2 hours a day. But look at the social injustices. Look at what happened to the second generation. Your own children are dissatisfied with you. Look with the amount of institutional injustices. Look what your Swamis say after 30 years. I don't have a friend, they say. And leave your movement. You're only thinking of this direction. What's about what will happen with a stick which you put like this? If you don't support him in the, what is it called, vertical direction, he will fall. With the doubt. I have taken the European intellectual doubt against the church, now against the Hare Krishna movement. What do you think about this? I'm sure if I would give this lecture in America, all the many would go, yes, correct! I would say that if we want to reach the Supreme Lord, we must follow all His instructions. And for instance, when He talks about, when there's relationships, yes, there must be a strong direction towards Krishna. But we hear it's so important to do Vaishnava Seva. We hear it is very important to even in Chaitanya Bhagavata. I recently found a verse quoted from the Bhagavata that said, when someone only worships the Lord, it's questionable if he reaches Him. But if someone who serves Vaishnavas, it's very sure
Because, you know, when you serve Vaishnavas, you will automatically begin to chant Hare Krishna and do or serve Krishna. Then that's that. If you forget to serve Vaishnavas, it's not possible to reach the Lord. Sometimes we may have forgotten. In marriage, we sometimes hear. I know of one marriage in our community. I happen to know. There are sometimes impossible dealings going on. How will such devotees please Krishna if they cannot learn to keep everything, to serve each other nicely and so on? It's very important so much disturbance will come out of this human, when you make disastrous human relationships. And there's no hope, you can't, no peace of mind to serve Krishna. Both must be there. We don't say, but we don't do the opposite, you know, which some Indian philosophers have demanded. They say that don't serve God. By serving the human being, you serve God. That's also wrong. That's not right. Manasya, how do we say? Manasya. Manav seva, madav seva. This is also incorrect. Both must be there. Vaishnava, to serve the Lord and to serve Vaishnava, and also to be compassionate to others. It's an important spiritual principle which we do. We do it by prasadam distribution, by preaching, giving people Krishna consciousness. It's very important. If you go like this through the world, you will stumble. Unless and until you really are a lover of God, who is fully immersed, transcendental, and then your activities will automatically be the highest benefit for anyone. Anyone who just sees you goes back to God and so on. But Haridas Thakur, so the living entities are liberated by his chanting. Imagine a mosquito coming by. Yeah, here is also someone. Yes, I will approach him, and Haridas Thakur goes, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And the mosquito feels that divine vibration. Wow! I also feel Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You know, this is the highest welfare activity. We ordinary souls, let us not forget good Vaishnava relationships. And like Swayambhuva Manu says, the Lord is satisfied if he sees his devotees greet other living entities with tolerance, compassion, friendliness, and equality. If you are a driver, some of you have cars, always have prasadam there in the car. You will feel so happy to give that prasadam to a beggar. Who has, Sridham, you have experienced, isn't it? Or you don't have a car. You have, when the beggar comes and you give prasadam, you feel it's the right thing to do, isn't it? You immediately know it's good. Be like this. The Lord is satisfied with you. Okay? Good. We will have one more question by our Mataji. Yes? Please give her a microphone and then we will end the class.
A person who is not Krishna conscious the way we are. He is believing Krishna, chanting also, but not regularly, 16 rounds or whatever. But the Sangrahita and pleasing other is to the highest degree. So what's the status of that person?
Yes. question, what is mother? He gives us destination. He was a person who was really serving selflessly. I mean, when she started her work in Calcutta, she was unknown, she didn't do it for fame, she really wanted to help people because she understood this is what Jesus did. What is the status of this person? He's a pious person, a very pious person, and he does pious work, which is, I mean, the one who is chanting is already very elevated. Do you wish me to talk about the one who is chanting or about the extreme, someone, the one who is chanting?
Chanting, but not the 16
round. Not the 16 round. Well, he is chanting, for that he will make spiritual advancement. Then he is developing very, very good qualities, very good qualities. Maybe that will, and it is very nice. But we should encourage him to become slowly also chanting more. See, a devotee's destination is, if he follows the path patiently, he will develop love of Godhead one day. And he will go into the eternal kingdom of God, dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, eat with Krishna, which is really the highest destination which we wish for everyone. Others who may not go this path so intensely will also get their good qualities, a good destination, but not this highest destination of going back to Vrindavan. But there are so many destinations one can go for. So as far as one who is chanting in this extremely samadrisha, we can learn from his samadrisha and Sava Bhutan Ranjita, and we can help him to appreciate the chanting more, and that he gets more into the chanting, so, because we naturally wish him that he goes also back to Goloka Vrindavan, develops love of God. Thank you. So we will end the class here. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful day of devotional service and devotional association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Isi Gauri Nitai ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Bol,
Bole Sri Radha Mama ki jai.